We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, your hostess this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Glad to be here. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, you can contact Barbara Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a Dodge or a Nissan. Yeah. We do record in two parts, and I will get those uploaded to the website shortly after the program has ended. Remember to like, share, and comment done on our Facebook post for an entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July. Our book is called Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start?
I would love to. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, this morning as we gather wherever we are, we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit surround us, go before us, go behind us, go around us, go through us. Help today to be a day where we give you honor and glory. And today as we talk about peace, we pray that you will bring the peace that passes all understanding to each of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Struggle for Peace.
The Struggle for Peace. So, I did a little, really since the beginning of the year, I've been doing sort of an informal, I don't know, survey, I guess you might say. I've been asking people things, just questions randomly. I do this once in a while. You know, we think about sermon series or whatever, I do this. But asking the question, if you could have one thing in your life, and I'm not talking about, you know, a new car, though that might be nice, right? Or things like that. What would you want? And overwhelmingly, the word that comes up is peace. Mm-hmm. Now, peace is a big word. let's not kid ourselves. Okay, peace has many connotations. It has many different ways of looking at it. You can have peace as in, I have peace with a decision that I've made, right? I was struggling with a decision. I made it. Now I'm at peace. You can have peace between, like, two nations that are at war. Maybe they sign a peace treaty. You can have peace sometimes when you're maybe outside, maybe not today because it's like 164 degrees today. But if you go outside in the cool of the evening and you sit and that little bit of breeze comes by, maybe that's peace to you. Just calm. And even then, peace can be things like overcoming inner turmoil. Maybe there's something going on in your life that is causing strife. Maybe there's some forgiveness that neither needs to be offered or received, and it's causing strife or some kind of calamity within the soul, maybe we need peace. So when people say, I want peace, I often have to think through, okay, what's the context, right? What are they talking about? You know, what is the bigger picture? Because peace has so many different things and means so many different things. And quite frankly, I've used the term in every one of those ways at some point. So when I think about peace and the struggle for it, I think about, for me, one of my favorite Old Testament stories. And it's really about the struggle part of this sermon. And it's Jacob wrestling with God, the Genesis 32 passage. Now, it's no secret, I've said it on this show before, I'm a pro wrestling fan, all right? I like it. I watch pro wrestling. I've been to WrestleMania. I mean, I like that stuff. I mean, you know, yes, I understand all about it. I get it. But I enjoy the stories, and I enjoy the athleticism, and I just enjoy it. For me, it is peaceful because it's an escape from everything else I do in the world.
Right?
Right? For those 3 hours on Monday night, I watch wrestling, and everything else goes away for a little bit. But I like it because I enjoy the struggle. Now, I know it's scripted there, but I enjoy the struggle. But I even like to watch wrestling like in the collegiate level, freestyle. Like next year when the Olympics come back, oh, I will get up and I will watch. I've got the Peacock Network. I will watch all of the wrestling. Because I enjoy that one-on-one combat, that struggle. I've watched a little boxing and MMA in my life for that same reason. I like that one-on-one combat. I like that feeling of push and pull. And so when I started reading the scriptures, the first time I ever read through them, cover to cover, was in college. Now, I mean, of course, read the Bible throughout high school, but first time I said, you know what, I'm going to start at Genesis and I'm going to go to Revelation. I'm going to read the whole thing in order, was in college. And so it didn't take me very long. I got with Genesis 32, where I ran into the story of Jacob. Now, I enjoy the entire story of Jacob, and I've done sermon series on Jacob. Okay, he's probably my favorite Old Testament character. I think Jacob speaks to my soul for many different reasons. But when I ran into the story of him wrestling with God, it caused me pause. I'm like, well, I like wrestling, and I like Jacob. And I like God, so all right. So we're three for three so far, right? And so when I looked at that passage, I got to thinking about it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. That's how we're going to talk about struggle, because Jacob is emblematic of the word struggle. His name, Jacob's name, means heel, grabber. That's what it actually means. Like, you remember when he was born, Esau came out first, the twins, right? Esau, Jacob, and Esau. But Esau came out first, and scripture says that Jacob was grabbing the heel of Esau. That's his name. That's why they named him Jacob, grabber, heel. And so, literally from the moment he was born, he's been struggling. He's been striving with people, wrestling, maybe, with people. And his struggles were real. Growing up, Jacob and Esau, there's two incredible stories about the birthright and the blessing, mm-hmm. where Jacob cheats Esau out of the birthright mm-hmm. because Esau comes in from the fields and is hungry, and Jacob has made this lentil stew. Now, I mean, lentils are fine, but I'm not sure I'd give up my birthright for them. but Esau's like, I'm famished. And so he gives him this pot of stew. But it costs Esau his birthright. That's important in the first century. I mean, not the first, excuse me, in the ancient centuries. I mean, birthright was important. That gave you pecking order. And pecking order meant something. And so Esau, to give that up for a little bit of stew seems silly, but for Jacob, it just makes enmity between the two of them even stronger. Scripture goes on to say that Isaac, the dad, loved Esau, but Rebekah, the mom, she loved Jacob. Strife between parents. If that's not enough, Then, of course, the famous story where Jacob steals the blessing. Remember the story? Isaac says, I'm dying. I'm getting old. I want some wild game that I like to eat. And he says, Esau, I want you to go out in the field, kill a lamb or a goat, prepare it the way I like it, and bring it to me, and I'll give you my blessing. Blessing's important because the blessing literally is the inheritance. It's all the family stuff. So Rebecca, though, the mom, hears this, and she tells Jacob, go out to our little flock here at the house and kill one of these and bring it in. He's like, but wait a minute. Remember this whole story, right? Mm-hmm. He says, Esau, remember, was a hairy man. Mm-hmm. And Jacob was kind of like me, kind of smooth-skinned. So what if our dad touches us? What if my dad ribs my arms? She goes, well, here's what we'll do. We'll take some of the skin and we'll put it on you. And we'll kind of rub it on you so you smell game, you know, like you've been out in the field. I mean, it is, do you not hear all of the problems of this story? It's one thing after another with Jacob. And it goes on and on. So sure enough, they do it. Isaac sits there and he goes, now, you smell like Esau. You feel like Esau, but you have the voice of Jacob. He knows. It's like, look, Isaac. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. But he blesses Jacob. And as Jacob's walking out of the room, literally walking out of the room, here comes Esau. And Isaac's like, well, who are you? I'm Esau. Can't you smell me? Feel my arms, you know? You smell like wild game. I mean, there's no blessing for him. He says, don't you have anything for me? No, I gave it all to your brother. Strife. Struggle. Right? The struggle between a family. Struggle between the twins. Struggle between Jacob even and his father. Well, Esau threatens to kill him. And Rebekah says, I don't want you to die, young Jacob. I'm sending you to my brother Laban. Can you feel the struggle? Jacob's whole life, right, has been struggle. And so he gets to Laban and everything works out great, right? You see, when you are in the midst of strife and struggle and you can't find peace, you perpetuate it. So not only does it go with you, when it's unresolved, that struggle is real and you take it with you. Well, sure enough, Jacob goes to Laban, starts to work for him, and he sees Rachel, Laban's daughter. Oh, she's pretty. And you know, Jacob gets the googly eyes. We're all laughing because we know what that's like, right? We've seen it. And he's like, I want to marry her. That's who I want. Okay, Laban says, here's what I need you to do. 7 years, I want you to work for me. And then you can marry my daughter. You notice, by the way, he said daughter. So, Jacob does. 7 years. In fact, Jacob says that 7 years was like nothing because he knew at the end his beloved Rachel would be there. So, end of the 7 years, Laban makes sure that Jacob is good and has imbibed and is good and drunk. And he wakes up and he's married to Leah, the older sister. Scripture tries to be nice about this, but when it says that she has weak eyes, she's not quite the looker, right, that Rachel was. She's not who Jacob wanted. Strife now with his now father-in-law. And he gets mad, and he says, if you'll work another 7 years, you can have Rachel. So he waits a week, he marries Rachel, he works another 7 years. So now Leah and him have strife because he's married to Rachel. Rachel has strife because he's married to Leah. Laban has strife because he's worked 14 years for him. This guy is the epitome of struggle. Then he runs off. He decides, I better get out of here. But in the process of these 14 years, he's made it so that the animals, some are spotted and some aren't. But the spotted ones, he takes with him. And they're healthier. In fact, he cheats Laban. So now he's not only cheated his dad, he's cheated Esau, he's cheated Leah, now he's cheated his father-in-law. This is not a good guy. You talk about strife and struggle. So now they're headed out. I mean, I hate to do these stories such an injustice by giving them such small things, but I'm trying to give you the big picture so you understand where we're headed. But as they're headed away from Laban, they get to the river Jabbok. That's where we're at, 32. And word comes to Jacob that guess who is on the other side of the Jabbok River? Esau. In case you forgot, the last time we saw Esau, the last thing we heard Esau say was, I'm going to kill him. And I'm sure he meant it. Jacob remembers this. So Jacob does what Jacob does. It's one of the most interesting stories. So he sends all of his flocks and his servants across the Jabbok, on the Esau side of the Jabbok. Then he sends his concubine. Remember, those the two that were with Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpha, you know, the other ones. He sends them and their children across. Then he sends Rachel and their son across. So literally everybody is on that, on the Esau side of the Jabbok, except Jacob. What Jacob has done is he has put his entire flocks, his entire family, his entire servants, the river, in between him and Esau. He is protecting his own skin. You know, I mentioned a minute ago I like pro wrestling. It's the ultimate heel move. He puts everything as an obstacle to getting to him, because that's part of his struggle. There's no one left on Jacob's side of the Jabbok that night, except. And that's this story. Jacob begins to wrestle all night long with what he at first identifies as an angel and realizes later as God himself. Now, I don't know what they did. I don't know if it was, you know, a physical wrestling. I don't know. I don't really care. What I know is I understand wrestling with God at night. I understand having so much on my mind and so much on my heart that at 3 a.m. I wake up and God and I are in the middle of a conversation I didn't know we were having. And what I know is they had this incredible wrestling match all night long, Scripture says. And in the morning, Jacob's got a hold of God. Now, think about that for a moment. This is not the first time he's grabbed something, right? That's his name. And he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. Which is okay, I'll bless you. But listen to the blessing. It's fascinating. I mean, completely fascinating to me. Jacob says, tell me your name. And instead of that, God says, I'll bless you, but your name is no longer Jacob. I'm naming you Israel. Now that sounds fine. We've all heard that story, until you understand what Israel, the name Israel, really means. It means striving with God, struggling with God, wrestling with God. And literally, of course, Jacob becomes the father of the 12 sons, the 12 become the 12 tribes of Israel, and it's the nation, right? Think about that. The name of the nation is struggle with God. Jacob is its embodiment. That's what God names him. God didn't call him Scott or Jack or Jim or... No. He called him Struggles with Me. Think about that for a second. This is a man who literally has had no peace his entire life. I mean, one struggle story to the next struggle story, to the next struggle story, to the next struggle story. You know, I mean, we sometimes, in my family, we use the term being on the struggle bus. You ever heard that?
Yes.
Well, Jacob invented, J- Jacob, I've been on it. Oh, yeah. Jacob invented it. I mean, literally from the moment he was born, he's been struggling with every person he's met. And what he didn't know is, in the midst of that, he's struggling with God and even himself. It was a struggle for peace. Jacob didn't have any peace. I think that's why Jacob's story resonates with me so deeply. He's a man who takes every advantage he can because he didn't know any other way. Mm-hmm. All he knows is strife. From the very beginning of his life, he knows strife. And that's the way you deal with things. Strife to deal with strife. Mm-hmm. Where's the peace in that? Where's the comfort? Where's the healing, that fresh spirit? It's not to be found there. It's interesting, because the next morning, after God changes his name to Israel, Jacob does cross the Jabbok, and he does meet Esau. And Esau doesn't kill him, by the way. In fact, they hug and embrace. And he was like, oh, that was so long ago, brother. I love you, man. It was good to see you. What? And from then on, Jacob's relationships begin to change. Throughout the rest of Genesis, we see that. We see it even into Jacob's death at the end of Genesis. Jacob becomes a different person when peace enters his life. It doesn't mean he didn't have struggles. It doesn't mean he didn't have... I mean, we aren't going to even get close to talking about the famine when he sent Joseph to eat, that Joseph ended up in Egypt and all that story. But Jacob's story is a struggle for peace. And that struggle is real. Well, the truth is, I know that story. You probably know that story. My guess is most people listening to this know that story. Where it feels like we go from one struggle, one strife, to the next struggle, to the next strife, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. It almost feels inevitable. And yet, remember, I started this today, just a few minutes ago, by saying, when I asked people what's the one thing they wish they could have, it was peace. And it seems like sometimes it's the one thing that seems most fleeting. The one that seems furthest away. The idea of peace, how do I even get there, right? I don't know that Jacob could have imagined how to get there. I mean, look at his life, all those pieces, right? Where in that story could that cycle have broken? I mean, you think about it, you're like, well, it would have been hard to break in any of those levels. It was only after his interaction with the Lord that it changed. But it took literally God wrestling with him. Struggling with him, striving with him. We learned that at VBS this week. This is what strive. That's what strive is. Striving with him to change some of the trajectory of Jacob's life. See, I think that's where the real power of that story is. Because if peace is something we all desire, if peace is something that we talk about wanting, I mean, above all else, right? I just want some peace, whatever that means. Then this story says to me that there may be some hope there. Because if Jacob, the ultimate unpeacer. I don't know what else to say that, right? The ultimate example of no peace. If he can find some, maybe there's hope for me too. Maybe there's hope for you too. Because that struggle is real. For me, the Jacob story, and really, again, it goes on further than this. There's more parts of it that we don't have time for today. But the second part of his life, you know, going into when he loses Joseph when, you remember, the brothers throw Joseph in the pit and the anguish he feels, though no peace again, right? But not of his own doing this time. You see, that's the weird thing about this struggle is sometimes it is our own doing and sometimes it's not. It's what things done to us. And that's what makes peace confusing. Because sometimes we are the reason there is no peace. I mean, let's call it what it is. Sometimes it is us who is the cause of it, and sometimes it is caused to us. We're going to explore that a little bit more in the second half of the program today. And when we do that, we're going to talk about ways that maybe we can be part of the other side of that. So if Jacob's story is an encounter with God changes a struggle for peace into peace, how do we, in 21st century Western Oklahoma, how do we find that? Where do we go for that? How do we find peace in building up? And we're going to talk about it in terms, we're going to use the Romans text. If you're looking at your Facebook, you'll see it's Romans 14:19. We're going to look a little bit about what it means for us to struggle for peace and what that might look like. We'll do that in the second half of the program.
I have a couple here. Pray for Linda Felder, who has pneumonia. And then let's pray for Sean Wilson, who is having open heart surgery this morning.
I didn't know that. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we lift up all the prayer requests this morning that are on our hearts. We pray specifically today for Linda, help her to recover from her pneumonia, and we pray for Sean. We pray that whatever surgery he has will be successful and that he will recover, and we just want to pray for both these people, their families. God, we all have prayer requests that are on our hearts, and we don't want to not lift them up, because one of the things, God, we believe in is that even the unspoken requests, you know them. You know the things of our heart, and so we lift those people up to you now. Maybe we lift them up silently. Maybe we speak them out loud wherever we are. But we trust, God, that you hear them and you know them. We ask that your will be done. And in so doing, God, may you provide each of these prayer requests the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God, y'all. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.